see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Yes. And welcome to Watching for Jesus program tonight, the Bible study. Tonight in Revelation, we're going to discuss and talk about and the wars of Revelation, some of the end times events. Like last week, we talked about the seals, trumpets, and the bowls. Tonight, I'm going to talk about some additional events that's going to take place. And I'm assuming those that are there tonight, that you know me already, is Thomas Gambill. I'm going to talk about a little bit of the refresher, what we did last week, quickly. And then we'll get into the wars of the end-time revelation. And it's happening now, not the wars necessarily, but the claim that the wars are happening is going on right now. I mean, as we speak. Many so-called expert theologians are saying, oh, we're in Armageddon. We're close to Armageddon. China can come up with 200 million men, you know, Fulford, who works for Rockefeller, like Zagami works for the Rothschilds, or one of the Illuminati over there, the Italians probably, the Italian Illuminati maybe. They're all just paid off to fool people. But he throws that word in there, 144,000, this, that, or the other. Make it look like it's end times. Or they'll come up with, well, China says they can field 200 million soldiers. So they know the predictive programming, that they're throwing out at people. That will connect the 200 million with the end time events of Gog and Magog. They know what they're doing. That when you say that, it's immediately keyed in to, oh, he's talking about the end times events. Oh, Armageddon or Gog and Magog or whatever. And that's what they're getting ready to do, tied up together. Right now, people aren't concerned about that. They're concerned about where to put the money, the finances, and all that. And they're concerned with, you know, bringing the country back and we'll defeat the Illuminati and all that stuff. Israel, Palestine, a fake World War III, disclosure, alien, this, that, or the other. Man, they got so much, it's like Mulligan stew of events. Everything thrown into a pot. And then they put their top-level Calvinists, coat and tie, a doctor's degree, a couple books on the belt, and you're supposed to believe them. It's quite the opposite, actually. Because of that, I wouldn't believe them. That's the truth. The Vatican says, astronomers say, prepare for brother extraterrestrial. This is not a fantasy. This is truth. That's what they're telling us. It's what's happening today. Right now. They're telling to be prepared for extraterrestrials. This is our next agenda to try to bring that out again in what's called disclosure. So they've got to have some kind of war, some kind of worldwide problem, chaotic situation. So people will want it. They'll want peace. So it's got to be major. Right now, people are so lackadaisical. It's like they're in another la-la, they're in la-la land. So something's got to happen. It's going to wake people up. I suspect that's coming. It's going to be a time when no one expects it. Deception will be grand, great, whatever, and grand. It's going to get the people's attention. Right now, man, they're sleepyheads. In a big way. So tonight, we're going to talk about a whole lot of this, these wars that's coming down the pike. Because it hadn't, man, we got so much to go. Calvinist, preterist, others that deny the revelation, the end times events, deny that God is a just God. To think that he is not going to bring judgment is to say he's unjust. Cold to those who have been victims. Doesn't care. Well, I'm here to tell you. Perfect love. Well, he's got perfect justice too. It's eternal. You got heaven and you got hell. A different dimension. Call it what you want. That's what it is. That you can't see. It exists. Can't have it both ways. There is a supernatural world that's led by God. You can't make up God as you want him to be. He is what he is. He says, I am that I am. Elohe, Yah, Elohe. Not Yahweh. It gets in the way. Yahweh does. Yahweh is Satan spelled backwards, by the way, in the Tetragrammaton. In code of sort, it's what Yahweh means. It's Satan backwards in their abbreviations of such in the code. A lot of people don't realize that. They think it's exotic to say Yahweh. Yahweh knows. Yeshua. That's Sanan Emmanuel, a fallen angel, is what Yeshua is. Sacred name movement. A fraud. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the only begotten Son of the living God. And he is not Yeshua. Well, now, what do you think they called him in Hebrew? They called him Yeshua. But in the King James Bible, when you translate it to Chinese, it's Yasu. In English, it's Jesus. You see what they're doing. The sacred name movement says, everybody call him Yeshua. Get used to it. No. Because the trick is, Sanan Emmanuel, when he finally makes his public appearance, to say, I am Yeshua. So you're used to saying, you're like, oh, wow. So you're used to it. Instead of saying, you're not Jesus of the Bible. Yeshua in Hebrew, sure. But his name's Jesus. They want you as English speakers and Chinese speakers all say Yeshua. Because they're getting you ready for the false Jesus Christ and Sonata. That's the trick they're playing. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast now. And then we'll get into a little abbreviation, a little summary of what we talked about last week. And then we'll get into the wars. Lord, we thank you tonight for coming together in another Bible study. Father, lead us tonight. Forgive us of our sins that we lay them before you. Father, to give us that rest, that take away that anger or frustration, our worry. Father, to help us get over this and any interruptions that we have to, Father, to look past them at the end game. We thank you for the Holy Bible, the King James Bible. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that keeps us straight, keeps us convicted when we fall away, and shows us understanding when we do the right thing. Lord, we pray for our returning veterans, Lord, that they will become aware of the technology being used for the voice to skull technology, the voices in the head. Father, to render that technology null and void. To render the effects of the psychotropic drugs null and void. And Father, to set up divine appointments and lead them to Jesus. We pray also, Father, for the children that are being profiled for abductions, for these satanic festivals that's coming up this month and next month. That, Lord, some of them you thwart or you save the children or bring them home, Lord. We pray tonight you guide us, Father, in this Bible study. That's, Father, why we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, what's interesting is a scripture that somebody showed me today. It goes along with something I was talking about earlier. It's called 2 Samuel. If I can find it here somewhere. Second Samuel, I believe. the verse is 2 Samuel. First Samuel 28:13. Now in 1 Samuel 28:13 encompasses 11 to 14. So 1 Samuel 28. Okay. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Now this is a seance. We're talking about, actually you can go back, 1 Samuel 28:9. Ah, 28:7. Okay. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that has familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there's a woman that hath the familiar spirit at Endor. And so Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, And they came to the woman by night and said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring him up, whom I shall name unto thee. So the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done. Now he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits. And the wizards out of the land, wherefore thou layest a snare for my life to cause me to die. And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall be no punishment happen to thee for this thing. 1 Samuel 28:11. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? He said, Bring me up Samuel. And 1 Samuel 28:12. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said to her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said to Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. Now that's interesting. Coming out of the earth, he sees them ascending, gods, fallen angels maybe. What are these? He said unto her, What form is he of? She said, An old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. He stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel, 28:15, said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me. And God has departed from me and answers me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore, I have called thee, that thou mayest make known to me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and has become thine enemy? Well, what's pretty much happened here is that Saul's doom is foretold in chapter 28. The Philistines were going to war pretty much against Israel at this time. So then David was ordered by the king to join them. And to this he seemed to agree. This words in verse 2. Then when you read it, it's capable of two meanings. You will know what your servant can do to assist you. You'll know what your servant can do to double cross you also. And David, a member of his personal bodyguard. But 28:3-8, at this point, the rival armies gathered in the northwest of Israel, at the plain of Esdraelon, the valley of Armageddon, ironically enough. The Philistines encamped at Shunem in Israel, at Gilboa. So, this is when Saul, he didn't get any response from the Lord. Wondered why he was being left out. He didn't get any response by dreams or any, by Urim or by the prophets either. So he went out to find a spirit medium, which is a big no-no. So either he had ordered all the mediums in Israel killed or exiled, according to what the law was. And when a medium was located nearby town, Endor, Saul disguised himself and went to her to seek counsel from the dead. Guess the boy never learns. So the medium's first concern was for her own safety. She knew what might happen to her. So she went ahead and reminded the visitor of the king's edict against mediums and spiritualists. Guess she didn't know she was talking to him. How Saul could promise protection in the name of the Lord. And Saul had decreed the death of such persons, how actually the medium could be assured of safety by an oath sworn to that God is kind of an enigma of sorts. When you get into 28:11 to 13, you'll find different commentators. They're disagreed as to what actually happened between 11 and 14, 1 Samuel 28, 11 to 14. They disagree quite frequently. Some feel there that an evil spirit impersonated Samuel. Others believe that God interrupted the seance unexpectedly by allowing the real Samuel to appear, which he could have done. Because remember, Moses and Elijah appeared to Peter and somebody else. But the latter that we're talking about God interrupting the seance unexpectedly by allowing the real Samuel to appear, is preferred because the medium was startled by the sudden appearance of Samuel in place of familiar spirits, those whom she was used to dealing with, demonic entities, familiar spirits, like today. Also, when you read the text, specifies that it was Samuel. Bible don't lie. And finally, number three, the Spirit prophesied accurately what would happen the following day. So, Saul told Samuel why he had summoned him from the realm of the dead. And then Samuel rebuked him, and I would imagine it kind of ticked him off, the king, very deeply. So he kind of begs the question, did Saul think that Samuel would actually help him when the God whom Samuel served remained silent to him? So instead, Samuel confirmed Saul's deepest fears, the kingdom would be taken from him and given to David. He is also told this earlier. And the Philistines would defeat Israel the next day. And Saul, his sons, would join Samuel in death. But you know, this doesn't mean that they shared the same eternal destiny. If you take them and judge them by their fruits, as we, you would do, not by what they say, but what they do, it would appear that Saul was an unbeliever, whereas Jonathan was a man of faith. You see, so it is discussed as whether or not it's Samuel actually appeared. So I'll give you some reasons why it was so, maybe. Not everything is described perfectly in the Bible. It's on purpose. End times events. Can you handle it? Are we already in the end time events? Who can say that? When you look at the end time events as they really happen, you can say it's almost nuts to even believe that we're in end times events right now. Are we close? Oh, I'd say so. Are we in them? No. It's not possible. But for some reason, a lot of these theologians want us to believe so. Why is that? Because they're trying to usher in the fake Messiah, Yeshua, and Maitreya. That's why. They have a timetable to keep. If they miss a certain timetable, with a sacrifice, a date, depends on what it is, they could wait another 75 to 100 years before it comes around again. That means they got to placate the population long enough to put it off to hit the next cycle of the stars or whatever. And that means that the star is a certain position in the constellation. Somehow has an effect on the portal openings. The second heaven. Manipulation of the principles of the universe. They know how it works. So when we dwell into the book of Revelation, it's to kind of realize that it's divided into three main parts. John, through his visions. Chapter 1 describes a vision which John saw Jesus, robed as a judge, and standing in the midst of the seven churches. The judgment of God will start in the churches in the first place. Preachers, rabbis, priests, hey, get ready. You better get ready. Using wrong Bibles, using everything but the King James, and those using the King James somehow or another twist of Scripture. And those using the right Scripture and using right meaning, well, buckle up, they're going to come after you. Satan is prince of this world, but never stop telling the truth, no matter what. And so right now, Jesus Christ is your lawyer. When he comes back, he is too late. There's no more discussion about how good you've been or what you've done. When Jesus Christ comes back, it's set. This is not you with audience before God. Well, Lord, look what all the good things I did. I fed the widows. Look what I did to hospitals. You haven't repented, and you're going to hell. It's about repentance for all of us to take him as your Savior. So, Christ is robed as a judge. And chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation have to do with the church age, which we now live in the church age. And then when you talk about the remaining 19 chapters, it all has to do with future events following the close of the church age. You divide the book as follows, that the things which John saw, that is the vision of Christ as judge of the churches. Number two, the things which are an outline of the church period. And that was from the death of the apostles to the time when Christ will take his saints to heaven. Chapters 2 and 3. And the things which will take place, number 3, after this, is an outline of future events from the rapture, which nobody really knows when the rapture is. And you could say more than likely mid-trib. Some people believe pre-tribulation, some believe after. God knows, we don't. And don't you think that Satan had a way of figuring it out? He would inspire others to say, we know when it's going to happen, because you can't. Because they don't know. Only God in heaven knows. So this outline of future events from the rapture, from the signing of the first seal, or the covenant, opens the first seal. And find then that the easy way to remember this is chapter 4 through 19 describes your tribulation. That's a period of at least 7 years where God will judge the unbelieving nation of Israel and unbelieving Gentiles as well. And these judgments are described under the figures of seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls. And it just gets worse and worse as it goes along. And when you jump ahead to chapters 20, 22, talks about Christ's second coming. His kingdom on earth. Judgments is the great white throne for those sinners. And the eternal state. Judgment seat of Christ is right after the rapture. Whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Everybody thinks they know. And everybody's got scriptures for pre-trib. Everybody's got scriptures for mid-trib. Scriptures for pre-wrath. For post-trib. And for no-trib. Everybody's got quotes. Nobody knows. I'm satisfied with saying I don't know. I give you most likely, but that's about it. And can't trust it. Because nobody knows. Don't you think Satan would have figured it out a long time ago? So on top, you got seven seals. And then below, you put number one again under the seventh seal. And that begins the trumpets. And then underneath that, to the side, you put the seven bowl judgments. The seventh trumpet brings on the seven bowls. And the seventh bowls, hey, you got Gog and Magog, and 200 million, it's going to get uglier. Seven seals, seventh seal brings the first trumpet. Seven trumpets, seventh trumpet brings on the first seal, first bowl, and then the seventh bowl, and it just gets worse. Because God will remember what happened to his son. And why he had to die. So we proceed along. Some of the principles yet to happen are the following. So I pulled up. 144,000 sealed Jewish saints will come out of the woodwork in Israel, Jerusalem. Gentile believers of the period 7, 9 to 17. That's why the 144,000 will be marked. 12,000 from each tribe, Jewish tribe, and it's not America either. Will we be made to look? Will we be made to look like Babylon? That's possible because we're working on this Nasara to placate people and to bring our financial situation up for maybe 7 to 11 years because they have an agenda by 2025 to effect, promulgate, to bring out of hiding externalization of the hierarchy of the fallen angels at that time period. So, 144,000 sealed Jewish saints. Then the Gentile believers of this period, Revelation 7, 9 to 17. And then you have the mighty angel with the little scroll. It's not a missile. Chapter 10. The two witnesses. Very interesting study, the two witnesses. 11, verses 3 to 12. You have Israel and the dragon, chapter 12. The two beasts, that's the Antichrist system, two of them, chapter 13. Then you have the 144,000 with Christ on Mount Zion. Revelation 14, 6 and 7. In Revelation 14, 1 to 5, and 6 to 7. The angel with the everlasting gospel. And you have the preliminary announcement of Babylon's fall. 14, verse 8, Revelation. Then you have a warning to worshipers of the beasts. Genesis 14, 9 to 12. And the harvest and the vintage shared, 14, and then verses 14 to 20 And then finally, destruction of Babylon. Verse 17, verse 1, 19, verse 3. So you'll find, unlike the rest of the Bible, except when Jesus names the parables, you'll find much of the language of the book of Revelation is symbolic, actually. The numbers, the colors, the rocks or minerals or jewels, beasts, stars, lampstands are all used to represent persons, things, or truths. A lot of the cult goes with this. My Little Pony, that little cartoon, was banned in Poland. Poland's got the right idea. I'm sorry, but it's a cult, designed a cult. Fraught with symbols of witchcraft. Oh, come on, Tom. No, I'm telling you. It's the truth. No, I'm not a ventriloquist. But, you know, some of these symbols are explained in the book itself. Actually, for instance, the seven stars, or the angels of the seven churches in 1 verse 20. The great dragon is the devil, or Satan, verse 19, or book 19, chapter 7, 12, verse 9. And little bitty clues to the meaning of other symbols can you find in other parts of the Bible. You know, it talks about four living creatures. 4, verse 6. They're identical with the four living creatures of Ezekiel 1, 5 to 14. Imagine that. How'd they know? Ezekiel lived a long time before John. You think they had a book of Ezekiel with him and copied it? Nope. In Ezekiel 10 to 20, they're identified as cherubim. Now, the leopard, bear, and lion, oh my, Revelation 13, verse 2, it talks about Daniel 7. It's where the wild animals refer to the world empires of, listen, Greece, Persia, and Babylon, respectfully. Other symbols don't seem to be clearly explained in the scriptures. This is by design. And you can't say, well, I've interpreted the Bible. I'm ready for my Nobel Peace Prize. It won't work that way. Although some people will. It's not possible. It's just not. God don't want us knowing ahead of time. That way no one person can claim to be a prophet and 100% on target. You see how it works? He tells us. And the ones he tells us are those that's humble enough. That's not going to take all the glory. There was a... probably not going to win any friends on this one, but, you know, I had to look at it, and I, what am I talking about? There's a video out there, a really nice Dr. Feelgood kind of warm and cushy kind of video. And it's very commendable of the father that dedicated to the son and did an Iron Man type of events, and he's carrying his son. He's got him in a, kind of like in the days of the Ben-Hur, you know, he's pushing it and he's carrying it. And he's swimming the ocean with the rubber boat tied to him in some fashion with his son in it. Riding a bicycle with his son in it. And it's heroic, it's wonderful and all that sort of thing. But when you get down to it, I said, wait a minute, where's God in all this? I said, hold on a minute. Doesn't God get the glory here? And I sat back and I realized God didn't get the glory at all. Now, there's a problem there. It's about what man can do pretty much without God, and say the God they mention is not the God of the Bible. And so, that got my attention. I said, whoa. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians 4, verse 13. In Philippians 4:13, I believe that's the one. Oh, yeah. They used a different version. So you see the man, the heroic dad, granted, that's good. But then when he finished in the video, this went viral, as they call it, it said, I can do all these things through Him who gives me strength. Him. They used the wrong scripture. So it looks like they're giving the Father all the acknowledgement. Through Him who gives me strength. It don't specify Him. In the King James Bible, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And does the caring. Puts us there. Gives us that courage and strength. Most all the Bibles, except for the New Living Translation, of course, it's corrupted in other ways, massively. Each one's got some little quirk to it, except for the King James. Most all of them talk about in Him, except for Young's Literal Translation, one or two others, Word English Bible, several others. Give God all the glory, because only through Him are we still here. He keeps us living. He makes things jump forward. He allows Satan certain latitude because of our disobedience. And each time we get more disobedient, change the laws of the land to reflect against the Bible, which we're doing now, then God pulls away. He pulls away. Satan fills the vacuum, getting ready for his revenge. He'll placate the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Illuminati. He'll placate them with riches, rewards, and attention and all that until he's done with them, and he is going to kill them. Psalms 34:21, and evil shall slay the wicked. Those who hate the righteous will be left desolate. Family, it's coming. Pray for all of them. And yourselves. So when this thing kicks off, oh boy, tell you what, you're going to get people's attention. But don't be fooled. It doesn't matter if they have a doctorate degree in theology, that actually works against them. Because all the colleges and universities are schools of humanism, which means they have an agenda, and they're controlled by the state. They're controlled. All of them are. Either by 501c3 or the jobs at the university, because the Rockefellers or Ford Foundation, whatever, donate so much money. They own that college. That's why they give donations. So once that first seal is broken, that's like a woman saying, honey, I'm pregnant. Well, you just don't go get unpregnant. I know, you got abortion and all that, but I don't even want to go there. So she's pregnant. Excuse me. 9 months, get ready. That baby's coming. Water breaks, as a wrath of God, you better be at the hospital. It's on the move. That's the bold judgments. You with me on this? You see how it works? So it's not a matter of, well, the tribulations are a matter of 15 years or 100 years. It's already occurred. No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. And we're not Babylon. Being formed as a artificial Babylon. That's possible. But the real Babylon is the world. The Antichrist system includes the Vatican, Freemasonry, the synagogue of Satan, Zionist Jews. They were not the real Jews. Those who claim to be Jews but are not Jews. the Illuminati families, all of them. And the system, Babylonian system, is New Age movement. Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law, they say. Well, when God's beloved city, Israel, signs a peace covenant, confirms a peace covenant with the Antichrist, I'd say that's a really big removal of his protective hedge. That'll lead us to the First World War, the real one, the one planned by Albert Pike in March of 1873. March of 1873. Oh, yeah, three world wars were planned by satanic intervention of laying in plans for Albert Pike to write them down, which furthered the cause from 1845 to 1945. After 1945 was in preparation, setting everything up for World War III. The first seal was when Israel turns its back on God. Daniel 7 and 8. Violence, conquering. The Antichrist comes and makes peace. He'll fulfill the roles of Krishna, the Imam Mahdi, Prince of Peace, there's your fake Jesus, Ananda. The Christ, that's the same one, but with a different name of the New Age Jesus. The Christ. Bodhisattva, India. And Lord Maitreya, your New Age, the same as the Christ. He fulfills all those. It's coming, man. You know, people aren't ready for this. The churches haven't even... They won't know what to do, and they won't know what to do when all this goes down. So in that first 3.5 years, the seal will kick it off, and it's speculative as to what happened next. But along that first year, maybe second year, somewhere in there, when they say peace and safety, no pun intended, but all hell is going to break loose. That will be the red horse, and the red horse is not communism. Because the flag is red as it's a setup. That is total baloney. It's more baloney than an Oscar Mayer warehouse. It's war, Matthew 24, 6 and 7. Worldwide war on your front doorstep, whether you're in Kentucky or wherever you are. You will know it, and you won't need an internet to see it. Locked in simultaneously will be the third seal, Black Horse. That's worldwide famine, not a stock crash. There's some of them trying to tell you that this is a stock crash. It's a financial world set is the third seal. That's total baloney. These preachers that spout that off, man, you can do what you want, but I just laugh, walk away from them because they have no clue what they're up to. If they do know and they're being deceptive, they still don't know what they're doing. Because they will be judged by God for leading the little ones astray. That you can rest assured. And I certainly don't even wish it on them. I don't think people realize. It's not like getting thrown in solitary confinement. It's 1,000 times worse of being separated from God. If you're thrown in the lake of fire... I don't do the math on that one. Family, eternity is a long time. It means it never quits. And there's no annihilation. God has the perfect punishment. He has the perfect love. Why would he have no punishment and have love? That means that he would not feel any justice for those who've been wronged, not to bring on judgment. And it'd also be against the Bible not to punish the evil. You better be ready. Because all these verses, we're expected to adhere to them. Revelation 22, 18, 19. Don't add to or take away from the words of this book. Or it'll add to the plagues or take away your name out of the book of life. That's serious. Man, don't play with that. It's not just some kind of a Bible study or Revelation cliche. This is what's going to happen. Man, it's permanent too. And God don't have a stopwatch or a clock or a calendar. When it says a day is a thousand years is a day, all that's saying is for God there's no conception of time. Some people attribute that to say that, well, 7 years, okay, 1 year is a day, okay. So it means 7,000 years. No, it don't. 7 days of creation, 7,000? Well, maybe in that regard. See, there's no concept of time in God's world. It's all relative, no pun intended. So, first seal, the white horse, the Antichrist comes. Second seal, the red horse, is not communism. It red means war. And worldwide, actually. Then the third seal, as a result of war, you're naturally going to have a famine. They're trying to tell you it's a stock crash because of the scales. Don't believe them. Well, you can if you want to, but you'll be wrong. Sorry. The fourth seal is a pale horse. They say it was green. Oh, pale is green. Oh, that means it's Muslims. No, it's not. The pale horse is death. Like the red horse is war. Black is famine. This is another kind of death. Sword, famine, and pestilence. The fifth seals are those that still adhere to Jesus Christ. Martyrdom because of their loyalty. Many will come to faith in Christ in his first years. And then pushing on to the sixth seal, Revelation 6, 12 to 17. Now comes out the 144,000. A great earthquake they're going to try to fake. Cosmic disturbances, not caused by God, but to tell you God's wrath is coming. Stars will fall from heaven. This means Satan's cast out. Then will commit the abomination of desolation, marching into the temple, declaring himself to be God and having them to cease sacrifices of animals. I mean, somewhere along there in the first seal, they have started already. The sun, black as sackcloth, and moon as blood. The signs. In the seventh seal, Revelation 8, verse 1, there's then silence in heaven for a half hour. The ugliness and the is coming. God's wrath is going to happen. Two witnesses start gospel. The seven angels ready with their trumpets. And then the first one will sound. When that happens, a third of vegetation will burn. You have a loss of human life and hail and fire in the first seal, a first trumpet. You have six more trumpets after the first one. A third of the sun is smitten on the fourth trumpet, and it talks about it from Revelation 8 to 8, 7 to 12, and Revelation 9, 1 to 12. And that's the fifth trumpet. Sixth trumpet is Revelation 9, 13, and 11 to 14. The first woe is the fifth trumpet. The second woe is the sixth trumpet. And the third woe is the seventh trumpet, Revelation 11, 15. And then words from heaven that the second coming is close. Oh, real close this time. And then the Antichrist will be targeted at some point in time along here. And at the seventh trumpet, the third woe, that begins, the seventh trumpet begins the first bowl, judgment, vials of sort. And it just gets uglier. Sores on all those who follow the Antichrist. God can open up the ozone layer. Remember I said that no flesh can be saved out in space. So they never went to the moon. Van Allen belt is electric, is a magnetic eggshell protecting us from being bombarded by the sun and the radiation. Take that away. Ooh, it gets ugly. Second bowl, Revelation 16. Take it all the way to Revelation 16, 17. Second bowl is all the seas turned to blood. Four is a third of the seas. That's everything. And it's not some red algae or iron oxide, for goodness sakes. And not some little creek or some river or whatever down in, I don't know, West Virginia or Pakistan or wherever. That's not it. It'll be worldwide. When it says one third, it'll mean one third. When it says all, it'll be all. Creation dies. Third bowl. All the fresh water of the earth will be turned to blood. Fourth bowl. It gives power to the sun to bring heat to the earth. Revelation 16, 8 to 9. 11, verse 21. And then the fifth bowl is the real darkness over the kingdom of the Antichrist. Not the fake that they're going to come up with. Because remember, go back to the seventh seal, sixth seal. You have a great earthquake, family. God's not playing around. That earthquake won't be no 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. Family's going to take down everything that's technological. Will be destroyed. You understand this? No harp, no nothing. You might as well bring out bows and arrows. People aren't thinking about this. You're not going to have George Jetson flying around at your private bourgeois. Excuse me, honey. I'm going to get in my little flying car like Fred Flintstone. No, that was Fred. That was, well, Ma. That was, yeah, George Jetson. Everybody has this idea that we're going to be like Star Trek. You know. Or Battlestar Galactica or, I don't know. Some of these, they have pictures of 1950s and 60s showing how mankind's going to advance. So everybody's got their own private spaceship or some silly nonsense. Don't forget the Tower of Babel, by the way. Sodom and Gomorrah, the flood. People better wake up, man. People out there got to wake up. That's what the tribulations are all about, to wake people up. Fourth bowl, you're going to bring heat to the earth. Going to turn up the heat. Fifth bowl, darkness over the kingdom of the Antichrist. The sixth bowl, that's when Euphrates is dried up. And demonically inspired men, not Chinese, will head for their own destruction at Armageddon. Psalms 34:21. The evil shall slay the wicked. And those that hate the righteous will be left desolate. Here's where the three unclean spirits come out. And the seventh bowl is a massive moving of the earth's crust, followed by 100 pounds of hailstones from heaven. Now, don't you think that's a little bit overkill? Come on, Lord. Ain't that overkill? I mean, come on, 100-pound hailstones. You wonder why? Wouldn't just a baseball-sized hailstone do the number? Well, basketball-sized hailstone. Why 100-pound hailstone? Man, you won't even have time to have a headache on that one. You ever thought about why? Anybody heard of Nephilim? Men of renown, demonically inspired, with supernatural bodies. Giants, 20 foot, 30 foot, 12 foot, fully embodied men, Spartans, if you will. Now, do you have any question about why they're 100-pound hailstones? It takes care of that. That's a hailstone that your umbrella won't stop. And then is the second coming in Armageddon. 1,000 years of peace after Armageddon. A 1,000 years go by. Somewhere that rapture has occurred. Judgment seat of Christ will have occurred. The rewards of the 5 crowns put out. Into the 7 years is Armageddon. And so those that did not take Jesus as Savior after Armageddon, if you haven't already, will be in hell for 1,000 years. Excuse me. Before the judgment seat of great white throne judgment. See, the Freemasons are being lied to and told that everybody goes through the great white throne. If a Freemason would only read the Bible, he'll see his Grand Inspector General, his Master Mason, are lying to him, or they're sadly mistaken and need to go back to reading the Bible from a general point of view. Excuse me, from a Bible skew point of view. Because they're dead wrong. I don't see why that Masons can't say, wait a minute, you got the wrong theology because the Bible says it's different. How come you can't do that? Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. You'd lose your favorite parking place and not get that contract. Oh, yeah. That's right. Sorry. I made a boo-boo there. Now I know why you can't say nothing, because you're in bondage with a blood oath that you gave to the Satan, to the Freemasonry. Aren't you? You're tied down. 1,000-year millennium reign. Satan is chained in utter darkness for 1,000 years. Then released to tempt the nations once more. Why would God do that to us? Because he gives everybody the opportunity. There'll be those reproducing and living in the 1,000-year reign. With Jesus at Jerusalem and other places will have other saints, I guess. But he's benevolent world leader. You got a one world government coming no matter how you cut the mustard. It just depends on whether you want benevolent or malevolent. Life or death. The wicked will be removed. It's coming. I don't think you'll have time to say, it's here. Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. When it's here, you're going to know it for sure. Now, the first battle you're going to have a war in heaven. Actually, the war in heaven is about second. You're not going to see that war. I think one person named Quayle or something like that, he has got a book out, War in Heaven or something like that. No, you're not going to see that war in heaven. It ain't going to happen. It'd be an invisible war. No supernatural, extraterrestrial UFOs for God's angels or Satan's angels. They do supernatural invocations. And there's nothing going to be standard standing up. This war gets down. So what gives? A war in heaven will not be seen with the naked eye by people who are still left on earth as the 7-year tribulation starts to unfold. Satan's fallen angels are cast out of the heaven, second heaven, and cast down into earth by St. Michael and his army of angels. So there'll literally be a war in the heavens between God's angels and Satan, his fallen angels. I don't know how that works. I've never seen angels fight. I don't think I ever will, at least in the human state. All I know is they're out there. They're doing it for you. That's all I know about. I don't worry about the rest of it. It's God's business. So, angel wars, you're not going to see it. Now, if you do see it, it's not the one in the Bible. It's a made-up one, holograms. Leading into Sanan to Manuel, coming down and saying, I have defeated the reptilians. Yeah, big boy. And don't tell me you're Yeshua, right? Yes, I'm Yeshua. Yeah, well, shoo on out of here, too. Because I know you're a fallen angel. It's not going to be fun when you go against the status quo. You think it isn't now? You wait. To really understand what's happening with this war in heaven, you got to know that there's three heavens. So the Apostle Paul talks about his taking up in the third heaven, paradise, where he encountered Jesus and possibly God the Father. How that worked, I don't know. He just says it does. He says he does not know if he was in his body or out of body. And he had this experience. Quote, it's doubtless and not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or I don't know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such as one was caught up to the third heaven. Now, many believe that Paul was talking about himself, that he was one who had this experience. And if that verse is telling us that there's a third heaven, well, there's got to be a first and second. If God and Jesus lived in the third heaven, then the first heaven has to be earth. The second heaven has to be the air or the atmosphere between heaven and our earth. And Satan is called Prince of the power of the air in the Bible. There you go. It's where he and his demons live and roam in. So that would mean that since Satan, Lucifer, properly identified as Lucifer, was like the first MP3 player for God. He was like the entertainment director, if you will. 9 stones of different frequency level vibration receive the frequency vibration of the particular angels that sang to the stones. We absorb it, and then he'd go in the throne room of God and then open up, ever how angels opened up, cherubims or whatever, and play the praises to God from all the other 9 orders of angels for the 9 stones, the different frequency vibration, and God could hear them all. Man, I don't know about you, but I have a time with 2 conversations going at once. Here, God's got 9. Here's them all. Heck, I have a hard time when I talk to myself to keep up with the conversation. anyway. So, Satan and fallen angels were cast out of the third heaven, where God and Jesus live. So Satan, Lucifer, rebelled against God before we were ever created, as confirmed by Job 38, verse 7. When God was laying the foundations of the earth, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That means they existed before. 2 orders of watchers or fallen angels before the flood created the Nephilim and the giants and dinosaurs and all that. After the flood, they came back, another set, second wave of fallen angels, fell in lust to the daughters of men around Nimrod time. Tower of Babel is supposed to bring the fallen angels into this realm by lining it with copper and other sulfur and all kinds of stuff going on. It's not going to get into it tonight. Alchemy. God did not let that happen. That's why he tore down the Tower of Babel. Same thing with the flood. Same thing with the Sodom and Gomorrah. You see a little routine here? And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Satan is not yet confined to the bottomless pit of the lake of fire and brimstone at this time. He is free to roam the air until Jesus comes back to us in the second coming. So when Jesus comes back, Satan is then thrown in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then eventually into the lake of fire and brimstone at the end of the war. Because those living that 1,000-year reign will not have had an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. Because there's no Satan to give you a choice. So Satan being released will give them that choice. Remember, it's 1,000 years of peace. Well, there you go. We have it every day here on earth now, his influence. That's why God's going to chain him for 1,000 years. No influence. To rebuild the population, family, you have going to have a massive, massive reduction of population. Don't forget about that. The earth is going to have to be replenished. Uh-huh. Because of the war, just like Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah, it's no different. And then Satan is cast from the second heaven down to the first, which is our earth. And about this time, Satan really gets mad and furious when this event occurs. Because he knows he has but a short time in which to live. When he dies, there's no death. It's just lake of fire. But he won't die. That's got to be 10 times as bad. People think, well, I'll just be annihilated. So what? I'll live it up here. I'm just a bad guy? No big deal, man. God will just annihilate me, judge me, whoopee-doo. And annihilate me. Or maybe I'll be punished for a little while in hell and bring me out. I got news for you. No. That's not going to happen. Well, maybe I'll just die ahead of time and get cremated. I escaped. No. You're not. Your body will be brought back to life again. You're going to say, oh, what? Oh, no. Why am I back? Uh-oh. Yeah. Uh-oh. Is right. In the great white throne judgment, Freemasons. Or all those who reject Jesus. Read your Bible. I dare you. Read your Bible. Don't trust your Freemason, Master Mason. Don't trust your Grand Inspector General. Do it yourself. Do it. Like Nike says, just do it. Of course, Nike is Illuminati anyway. But do your own research. You can't trust your fellow brotherhood. They're going to lie to you, man. Matter of fact, Albert Pike says to his Morals and Dogma. That's a fact. So, Satan is cast down from the second heaven to the first heaven, which is our earth. And he's on earth in a supernatural body. And he's going to see his creation destroyed, his manipulation destroyed, once again, like it was in the days of Noah. By water, now by fire. But first, the wars must take place. Satan's wrath, the day of Christ, is the first 3.5 years. The day of the Lord, wrath of God, is the 7 trumpets. And God's wrath, specifically, is the bowl judgments. So the Bible says, woe to the people who are still living on the earth when this event happens. when Satan is cast down, no longer in the second heaven, to have audience before God, he is no longer connected. So is the fallen angels. That could be their plan of externalization of the hierarchy, but I'm not going there. That'd be another half hour. And there's consensus that seems to indicate that the war in heaven might occur around the midpoint of the tribulation. And that could be why the fall of Satan at middle of the tribulation to take the body of the Antichrist. You see, when the angel sent from the third heaven to the first, he's got to go through the dimensional space of the second heaven, kind of gearing down your frequency vibration. So when Michael and the angels clear out, like Roto-Rooter, second heaven, there's no resistance there when Jesus comes down from third heaven to the first, his descension. This is real. It's not symbolic. So God would want second heaven cleaned out from Satan and all the demons before his son Jesus started to descend from the third heaven. He knows his time short. And war broke out in heaven. And they're going to try to tell you this. When you see this up in the skies, it's coming. It's UFO. It's Battlestar Galactica, Star Wars, whatever. Family, don't be fooled by this nonsense. You're going to see it, but it's a lie. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon, who was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he is cast to the earth. His angels were cast out with him. So, that's kind of short of it. Now, we've discussed many times the signs of the times. For example, perilous times will come. False Christs and false prophets will come to deceive even the very elect. Wars and rumors of wars. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Increase in famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. Lawlessness, morality, immorality. It's like in the days of Noah. And the love of many will grow cold. Maybe because of falling away, many Christians will depart from the faith that will then leave them open to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And there's a laundry list of things that's going to happen to mankind. And you know, if it actually comes through with Messiah, paying off a debt like a jubilee, selfishness pervades in the sixth step. So then you can probably see where men will become lovers of self until the first trumpet sounds. Lovers of money, unholy, proud, boasters, blasphemers, unloving, disobedient to parents, unforgiving, as slanderers, without self-control, brutal. That would be meek there. Meek of another kind. Brutal, traitors, and headstrong. Oops. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God and unthankful. Then the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. The gospel of Jesus Christ will be preached to the whole world, and then the end will come. God will open up in time prophecy for all in the end times, for all to understand it and interpret it as to prepare for his second coming. Not yet, but it's soon to come. Oh, you've been saying it soon all along for 1,000 years. Yep. It's because he's not telling you. It needs you want to be. That's why he keeps telling you. That's the reason. Jesus coming soon. Well, they said that 2,000 years ago. 1,000 years later, Jesus coming soon. 500 years later, Jesus coming soon. Tomorrow, Jesus is coming soon. When's he coming? Well, it means you've got to be ready all the time. Because you don't know when. That's what that means. I told someone the other day. The person was acknowledging that they need to be saved. I said, well, I'm not a theologian, but here's what I'll tell you. Your lamp's out. What? I said, well, I said, your lamp's out, man. I said, you got a lamp, a kerosene lamp. You're filling it up with water. You need to fill it up with kerosene. That's Jesus. The water, you fill it up with liquid, go ahead if you want, but you ain't going to be burning water. And you could probably say, well, then again, you've not drank the Detroit, Michigan water either. Don't light your cigarette. Anyway, so how about that? So you got to fill it up with kerosene, not water, to get your light burning. Let your light shine. To become born again. And the restoration of the Jewish people back to the state of Israel. The real Jews, the Hebrew Israelites, the ones that worship Jesus Christ, that knows him. Not the fake Yeshua crowd today. Sorry, but it is. Y'all better wake up now. And it's not the Torah. Half of the Torah? Yes. Masoretic texts? Masoretics, yes. King James used that because God gave it to Moses after the Ten Commandments. Moses took dictation from God. The rest of the Torah, not, no way. It's not about religion. It's not about a country or patriotism or sovereignty and all that stuff. They got his following of this global, this idol. It's about Jesus. Where's Jesus at in this patriotism? What? No. About Jesus. If Jesus wants to bring back that 2 Chronicles 7:14, bring back the country, that's his business. But only through Jesus. You know, mankind's not going to do it. It is impossible. If they have a military coup, for example, you wake up one morning, April the 6th or April 15th or April 21st or whatever. Obama has resigned. Rand Paul has taken over or something like that. Like Kerensky. Nothing new under the sun. Well, we got an old saying down here in the down south. It's called, you're changing the pot for the kettle. You got an old kettle replacing an old pot. Nothing's going to change. At the very beginning, you'll be jubilee, maybe, or a little confusion for 3 weeks, and then everybody will be happy because your bills are paid. You got money in the bank and a jubilee. Yeah. If they were to pay $1,000 a month, $100,000 a month, even $100,000 a year, whatever, that's not a drop in a bucket compared to what they collected your lifetime. When they bonded you for $1 million the day you were born, kept in Switzerland. That's like throwing pennies at you. Oh, there, that's another story. I'm not going to go there tonight. You see what's going on? They're going to buffalo you and feed you a lot of baloney. It's called buffaloney. Rise of the Antichrist, false prophet, and the 10-nation confederacy from which they will rule this world from. North American Union, South American Union, the Occident, European Union, African Union, Scandinavian Union. You get the idea? A fallen angel in control. Oh, boy. Seven-year great tribulation. Battle of Armageddon. Return of Jesus to earth to set up a 1,000-year millennium reign. Then a new heaven and a new earth. Does that song go, people get ready? Oh, there's a train coming. Rebuilding of the temple. Everything I do for myself is I do a study on it. I just don't read a couple of magazines or a couple of this, that, and the other and say, oh, there it goes. I do a study specifically. And I challenge my own study to try to prove it wrong when I'm done with it. I try to say the words, you've misinterpreted, you have failed to understand it, or this is the opposite, and say it. You get a certain feel for to try to scrutinize your conclusions to make sure they're right. People have been saying, Tom, you should have written a book from my experiences in Kosovo and Kuwait and Saudi Arabia and et cetera, and the stuff I've learned. And I was going to do all that stuff, you know, write a book and all that stuff everybody does. And one day when I sat down, I got a partial one that's like on my website, watchmenforjesus.com, watchmenforjesus.com. It's a timeline. And I said, no. You know, if I'm up here, I mean, it's just me, you know, and nothing wrong with selling books and CDs, I guess. You got to pay the bills and all that sort of thing. But I realized for me, no, I let God take care of me, you know. And I said, if I'm on here, I'm going to be talking about the Bible, talking about this. And you need to buy Tom's book and CDs, and I'm going to be selling my stuff. I can't produce it for nothing, and I ain't going to do it for free. As far as CDs and all that, it's going to cost a lot of money, it would. And get a book published and all that stuff that goes along with it. And time to take to write my book. I said, nah, hold on a minute. I said, where'd you get your information from? I said, researchers. Other researchers, Nesta Webster, Bill Cooper, and Gary Kahn, just a whole, I got 20 or 30 good researchers. I said, well, point somebody in the direction of their books. Okay, what's the other book? King James Bible. Uh-huh. So the time I could be, buy my CD, blah, 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 I could be saying the King James Bible is a true word right there. So I chose that. I said, no, I ain't writing no book. Again, there's nothing wrong with it, I guess, but it's just not my thing. I said, God's in your hands. Because I'm just not going to do it. That's how it is. I do this voluntarily. In the past, there's some folks that's been mysteriously, I still yet to understand it, but some assistance there. And if they're listening, I really appreciate it. It's mystery to me. It's complete, total mystery. I don't know what to say. But nevertheless, that's it. And I just trust in God. Either I do or you don't. Put up or shut up. That's how I see it. And he's coming back, let me tell you. He's coming back. Now, tomorrow, we'll talk about more detail about the end times events and start identifying them for you. Armageddon, a little study on that, and Gog and Magog, the real one. World War III, Armageddon, and Gog and Magog, in that order. Second seal is the second is the third world war, the real one. We're not even the first seal yet. 7 years later or so will be Armageddon, which is between Jesus and the Antichrist. Everybody gets all mixed up here. Armageddon is not the 200 million Chinese against God. Yeah, no, no, no. Transhumanized. Men of renown and giants against the angels in heaven, because Satan sees that happening. I got news for him. They're going to turn on each other. All it takes is a command. There's no army of God, of humans. You got to be kidding me. You think Jesus is going to trust puny humans to fight supernaturally? That's nuts. Man, there ain't going to be enough humans left. Man, people are not reading the Bible. Man, there's all kinds of mixing up going here and so forth. We're not even the first seal yet. So somebody could do the math on that. We got time for Malaysia flight to talk about that for an hour. We got time to talk about this other stuff. When I talk about some of this stuff on my broadcast, 4 to 6, but I try to bring some realistic approach to it. Sure, it is intertwined in the Bible. Well, I know you got police shooting the 9-year-old 9 times and all this stuff. Maybe yes, maybe no, but it's reported as such. That's to get you all riled up so you'll go fight, justify martial law. Yeah, kind of a catch-22, isn't it? They're trying to see how medicated people are. They're going to rise up and so forth. Who's going to resist it if there's a military coup? Who's going to resist it? The military at 22 suicides per day, divided homosexual straight, men and women in frontline. You got to be kidding me, right? And the police, hey, enough there. So what are they going to do to stop it? Oh, I tell you, a whole large number of Chinese and Russians and other UN soldiers in the millions here and have been for a long time. Thanks to our government to let them in. Militia, they're leading you to slaughter. You can't trust Jerry Boykin. He's a Knights of Malta. All these are in Freemasonry or against you. They're really good convincers, but they're for the New Atlantis, the North American Union, to use you as bait. And all of it won't matter anyway. Because Jesus Christ, it's already written what's going to happen. Praying for it to be delayed? Sure. To allow more divine appointments to bring people to Jesus. That's for the only reason. We're at the end of the program. Go ahead. Make my day. Oh, well, I've always wanted to do that. Family, we're down to the end of the program right now. It's 9 o'clock. Tomorrow we'll continue on about the end times events in more detail. And write these down, study them, because family, they are so deceptive out there. It's ridiculous. Horribly deceptive. And these are high-level theologians that are way off track, unfortunately, by design. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together in this Bible study to learn about the end times and share about those events. Through your discernment, Lord, you guide us in the path. Teach us what we need to learn. Give us the courage to speak out as watchmen. Lord, we pray for our families. Protect them with the blood of Jesus, that they not be used to keep us distracted. That, Father, you'll save them. You'll guide them to be born again. Father, to give us those divine appointments to lead them to that path. Guide us the rest of this week for our Bible studies and broadcasts. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I want to remind you tonight, we're played up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. John Kirkler, HighPointRadio.net. And his email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. John Herkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. We're also played simulcast with KBLU Radio, Colorado, Blue Raven Network. My website is watchmenforjesus.com, and you'll find the archives there. And you can download them and do whatever you want. Pass them around. The one today, I'm going to pass it around fairly soon. The one I did today, I think that's an important message at 4 to 6 for many reasons. So, family, thank you all for joining me tonight. even though nobody brought the cookies and cakes and the coffee. Yeah. But still enjoyable. Y'all have a great evening. Sleep well. Rest in the arms of the Lord. Because He's coming back. When? When He's darn good and ready. Not till the Word of God has been spread throughout the four corners. When that happens, you're not going to know. And we're in it. And then you'll know. Y'all have a good night. Rest easy. This is the Watchman, signing out. Good night.
Thank you very much. I feel very honored to get to sing this song on the show tonight. And as Mama would say, I hope you get a blessing out of it. The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. So I hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they'd moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. So we both ran toward the garden, and John ran on ahead. We found the stone and empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more I could tell. Oh, but something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, and I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. And everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Then suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. The light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. Then I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
good night, God bless, and sleep well. Watchman signing out.